Welcome to the very first episode of Sask Chat U1 Campers. This is a podcast for the camping enthusiast in Saskatchewan. Let's do a brief introduction and then I'll do a little bit about like my camping stories and my first trip with my RV and just me buying my first RV. So for the content, what I want to do is get other campers on as guests. One of the things that has kind of happened with myself is I've started meeting campers that are part of the Facebook group. And because I think a lot of people kind of know me and my story through the group, I get to listen to their story. And I really enjoy kind of hearing what people like about camping. So I think that those episodes would be really cool where we get somebody talking about like how they got into camping, why they love camping, their favorite place to camp, their favorite activities to camp, their favorite recipes, just, you know, all that camping talk that is kind of important, or not important, but that we just love and that we can all relate to. I would also like to get guests from the RV industry. At the time of this recording, I have RV techs within the group, I have salespeople within the group, I have managers in the group, I have one brand rep that I know of in the group, and I have dealership owners within the group. So I would like to get those people on, and they can kind of share the process or the behind the scenes of what they do within the RV industry. So we can talk to like techs and they can kind of get into like their history with being an RV tech, why they decided to become an RV tech, you know, the process for them, how long they've been doing it. You know, they can talk about their favorite job to fix, favorite brand, anything, you know, just kind of peel back that curtain a bit so we can kind of get an understanding of what it's like as an RV tech. You know, same thing with the RV salespeople, same kind of questions, you know, where we kind of talk to them, like, how long you've been doing it, what interests them about it. We just kind of get to know those people as well. I think it would be probably very difficult, but if we can get some brand reps on so we can kind of see, like, that aspect of the RV community, that would be, that's a bucket list goal for me. But again, something that kind of opens or peels that curtain open and we can kind of see a behind the scenes look there. Same with dealerships, you know, like the owners, pardon me, of a dealership, you know, like what makes them tick, like, you know, how they got into it, you know, what they like about it. You know, I think the, you know, RV dealer owners have given so many people, and salespeople as well, and RV techs, everybody in the industry have provided people the opportunity to make so many amazing memories with their family. So I think it'd be cool to kind of like talk to all walks of life in the RV industry. I would also like to get some campground owners, operators, managers, or people within the Sask Parks system, National Parks System of Canada, or even Regional Parks System of Canada. I'd like to get some of them as guests. I have a good relationship with probably 5 or 6 campground owner operators within the province. I know of probably an additional 10 or so that are within our group. But it'd be really cool to kind of hear about what their experience is, what they like about running a campground, how they got into it, maybe some of the things that they thought would work. Like some of the things that they thought would be a good thing to implement but didn't really work, stuff like that. I also think that it would give, once we get a big enough catalog of episodes, it would give campers a really good idea of if they want to go seasonal road or if they want to be nightly weekend warriors like myself. Like, I'm very biased to the nightly kind of camping scene. For Taryn and myself, we would never do well in a seasonal campground. As social as I am, we would never do well in a seasonal campground because we don't want to be going to the same place again and again and again and again and again. We bought our travel trailer to get out and explore and see as much of this amazing country as we possibly can. And even our province too. Like, I'm just kind of... There's more to camping than just Saskatchewan on our radar, obviously. I think with most people, so... We can get, with campground operators that operate their seasonals, you know, they can kind of talk about what they like, what works for their campground, you know, like the pros there. My sister and her husband and my two nephews, they have a seasonal site at the same campground that my mom and dad have a seasonal site at. And, you know, like, although a seasonal site is not something that interests me, I see the value in it just because I see the value that my parents and my sister and her family get from it. So I think if we had kind of people on both sides of the fence, I think it helps kind of point some people in the right direction. The one thing that I often hear out of seasonal campers that I don't really agree with is, like, there's no setup time. You just pull up and you're ready to camp. I mean, like, if you take a look at my setup, we've invested in some quality gear. My Kuma Bear Den, for example, is a gazebo, for those that don't know. I can have that thing set up in under 5 minutes. I'm talking pegged to the ground, ready to be used. After that, I get my RV mat out. You know, that I can have that pegged down, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. You know, whip out the lawn chairs. That's, you know, another couple minutes. So I can have my camp set up in about 10 to 15 minutes. Backing my trailer in is maybe 10 minutes. You know, my strategy for backing a trailer in is not to get it the first time. I want to make, because I'm picky. So I want to get it into the site. And then I want to pull it forward and then adjust to where I want. It's seldom that I hit the site on the first time. But I think if you're going to be a nightly camper, you have to spend money on quality gear that can be set up by one person quickly. So, yeah, you know, you look at it, parking and setup, under 20 minutes for us is really, with five boys, it's really not too bad. But again, that's just my perspective on being a nightly guy that likes to travel and likes to see new things. So yeah, I think, like, once we get a balanced perspective of people that work within the industry, I think it'll help other campers out there. There's people within the tourism industry in Saskatchewan that I would love to get on the podcast. They bring a lot of value to the tourism industry within Saskatchewan, from discovering a bunch of, like, you know, hidden gems in small towns, from restaurants to museums. So I think a lot of those people would be cool to get on the show, so that if you are a traveler like myself, or if you're in a seasonal campground close to these places, you can make a day trip and kind of help support local business and establishments. There's also some local businesses that do a lot for the local camping scene. And again, I'd love to get people that are related to that business on the show, and then I'd love to get them to share their experience, you know, how they got into it, why they got into it, you know. I think that would be really cool again. So I think that's kind of the big, oh, and then I'll do solo episodes. I'm going to try not to do a lot of solos. I tend to get a little long-winded when I talk and I ramble. I have ADD, so I will bounce off of a topic very quickly and then have to get kind of course correct back onto it. So I probably won't do a lot, but when I do them, I'm going to work off a script. Like right now, I'm just kind of free-minding it, which is probably going to get me in a bit of trouble here in terms of how long this episode is going to go or how disorganized it's going to go with my thoughts. But so my solo episodes, they're going to be kind of like park rundowns. So if I'm in, we'll say, like, Prince Edward National Park, I'll do an episode on, like, that one where I'll talk about, like, the history of the park, when it was established, you know, things like that. We can do size of the park. I can do, you know, just random little facts. Amenities they have, lakes they have, hiking trails, hiking total hiking trail length, you know, things, you know, like do they have trail rides, ATV friendly, like things like that. So that, you know, if you're kind of wondering about a park you want to visit, well, hopefully we'll have a podcast so that can help you make your decision on if you want to go there or not. I'm also planning on doing the same thing with my YouTube channel, but I don't want to do it yet because my old 08 XP, she's got a crack across the windshield and I'm too cheap to fix it because I was racing a Geo Metro in Terran's Expedition and I seized the engine. So that's about a $17,000 repair bill. So I don't feel like putting a grand with a glass on my old truck until I fix Terran's truck. And I will also probably do the odd episode here or there with my kids. I don't know how well those are going to go because I have five boys and I often wonder if they are feral or not. They are wild and we'll see. Whenever they kind of get that chance to get a bit of like attention in this manner, they tend to act like children do. So if you've ever watched one of my cooking with the kids videos, you'll have a good idea of how quickly things go off the rails with them. And then Taryn has got some cool episodes lined up. So she's going to do some spooky Saskatchewan episodes where she's going to tell some spooky stories that are Saskatchewan themed or happened here in Saskatchewan. You know, maybe you can listen to those while you're around a campfire at night with the kids. I think she's going to do some other like Saskatchewan history based type things with like some of the spooky stuff. Taryn loves spooky and horror, so she's got some cool ideas there, and I've heard she's even got an interview lined up with a Sasquatch, so that's going to be pretty fucking cool, I think. Oh, that's the other thing too, is you're going to hear me swear in this because my normal day-to-day speech, I swear a lot, so if I'm just kind of talking, you're going to hear me drop some profane language. Sorry about that, guys. Just took a drink of my iced coffee here. So I think that's about it for content. Like, it's just going to be camping related. Try to keep each episode to around an hour. I think that's a good length. If they're done in person, it'll probably be like recorded if the guest is comfortable with that. And then we'll probably dump that onto YouTube as well. But it should be a good time and should be a cool way to share some information and some passion, some people's passion about camping within the group. Let's talk about my history here. So I was originally from BC. I was born in Mackenzie, BC when I was like 6 months old or so. I think we moved to a small town in Alberta, Westlock. It's north something of Edmonton. I don't know if it's northeast or northwest or just straight north. I don't fucking have a clue, but I think it's 45 minutes north, that's all I know. I think we spent about 2 or 3 years there, then we went to Edmonton, Alberta, and lived there until 1989 or 1990 when we moved to Saskatoon, and I've pretty much lived in Saskatoon ever since then. I did in my early 20s moved to Alberta for about 3 years, 2 years, something like that, but Saskatchewan is what I call home. It's where I was raised. It's kind of like what made me, and I think like the Saskatchewan folk, there's something, we're just different, we're built different, we have to be built different, we have to survive minus 40 fucking degree weather here for like 6 months of the year. It's not that long, I'm exaggerating, but you guys get it. So because I was born in Mackenzie, you can probably imagine that the majority of my family, my extended family, lives out in BC. This is true. A lot of them lived in the Lower Mainland. And if they did not live in the Lower Mainland, they lived on Vancouver Island. In Nanaimo or Campbell River is essentially where everybody kind of lives. So growing up, I had a trip every summer to either Waskasu or BC. So one summer we would go to BC and I'd visit all my family. The next summer would be Waskasu, and then the summer after that would be BC and then Waskasu. So it was always Waskasu. Mom and dad loved Waskasoo. I think maybe that's why I left Waskasoo, that nostalgia of it. But I mean, it is. Anybody's camped it, especially when it's not in the peak season, like May, June, September. It is such a beautiful place to be. So when I was camping as a kid in Waskasoo, it's very different experience than what we give our kids today. So when I was camping there as a kid, you know, we did beach days. I rode my bike around, all around the campground. We'd go catch all the plays at the amphitheater there. And then, it's not really an amphitheater, is it? I can't remember. We don't go to that, Tara and I don't go there. I can't remember if it's an amphitheater or not now. It's bugging me. Might just be, anyways. And then I'd also bring like 900 Hot Wheels, and I'd play Hot Wheels all day. My mom and dad would read. My dad was into, I think it was like Louis Lamar Westerns. I think that was the author. My mom read Danielle Steele, like romance novels. I think her name's Danielle Steele. I don't know. My sister, I don't know. She's probably chasing me with a meat cleaver trying to kill me, or coloring, because my sister's crazy. She's actually not. It's a bit of an inside story there, but yeah. That's kind of like what our camping experience was. And in BC, we did do a bit of camping. And we would do camping when we had like a family reunion on my mom's side. So we had the Lapointes, which is my mom's side, and the Davises, which was my grandpa Lapointe. It was his best friend from their army days. Both of these guys had big families. Like, there's like 7 on the Lapointes, like, I don't know, 7 or so on the Davies. And we'd have like a reunion. I don't know how long they were. They're probably like a weekend, but they felt longer as a kid because you have no concept of time, right? But we'd rent a whole campground. And then we'd have like a ball tournament. Like there's like basically competitions between the families the whole time. And what I remember is on average, the Davises were better athletes than us, the Lapointes, but the Lapointes were better drinkers. So, you know. Take your wins where you can get them, right? So, I remember one particular year. We always had like ball tournaments to see who would win. I think the Lapointes usually lost. We would have we were playing Red Rover one year, and like one of the little kids got called over, and I'm pretty sure we broke his fucking nose. Like, I don't remember who this kid was. He wasn't on the Lapointes side, he was on the Davis side, and for whatever reason, this kid would have been, I don't know, like 5 or 6, like he was young. He decided to run through 2 adults who were holding hands, and I don't know where he hit, but he hit somebody's, either their arm or where they were actually holding hands, with his nose, and I just remember a lot of blood, so I'm assuming he broke his nose, because there was so much blood, but I don't remember. I remember he had like a yellow poncho on, like off the movie It. But I'm like, that might also be like me just embellishing the memory a bit, just so that it's like that much better. But yeah, I do remember like a lot of blood. So that, I don't know, that ended that game of Red Rover, and I'm gonna give the W to the Lapointes, because we did not bow down to injury. Quick drink after that. And then we also did like relay races with tricycles, and I must not have been going fast enough, because my dad was supposed to be pushing me on the trike, and I wasn't on the trike yet. Maybe we were winning, maybe we were losing, I don't know, but he felt that I wasn't going fast, so he grabbed me and he slammed me down on the trike, and instead of getting me on the seat, he got me on the bar. Which, we now let my dad know that's why I have 5 boys and no daughters. Because all my daughters died in my sack that day, I guess. I don't know. But again, like, it's, you know, 31 years later, something I still kind of remember. Still kind of goes around. And then we did chili comp, chili cookouts. And we did, which we won because my dad's a fucking amazing cook, so... Yeah, basically won the chili cookout. just off his chili alone. And then we did, like, I remember Jim Davis, my grandpa's best friend, he had a good sized boat, and they were like on the boat all day, like taking the older kids out on like ski rides and slalom skiing. I don't think wakeboarding was a thing back in the 90s, to be quite honest. Sort of like 92, I think. 91, maybe. And yeah, so then they did like slalom skiing. I think there was some tubing going on, but yeah. And then like I remember like Rita, Jim's wife, was always by the fire painting like sunsets and shit. It was beautiful. And then the next one we did, kind of camping with the family reunions, was I was older. I was old enough that my parents were comfortable to let me have drinks. So I did the Yard of Ale, and then I instantly got sick, which was not fun. Yard of Ale was, my grandpa has a beer mug that's a yard long, and it holds, I don't know, 4.5, 5.5 beer, something like that. And basically, you chug them, that's it. And whatever family can chug more without not chugging wins. So, as I remember, the points won. I don't know, it was clearly not in any state to remember, but you know, and that was probably one of the best camping trips I had as a child, though, because my uncle Harvey and I had a heart-to-heart there down by the lake, and we lost Uncle Harvey on Canada Day of 2017, and I found out that we lost him. My cousin had actually called me, and she couldn't get a hold of anybody. My aunt Dawn and Uncle Brian were down in Saskatchewan here with my mom and dad camping, and my cousin couldn't get a hold of anybody, so she got a hold of me, and I had to tell. I gave her the cell number, and I spent the morning trying to get a hold of my parents to let them know, and when I finally did get a hold of them, you could tell that they were just talking to my mom. But yeah, so that camping trip, him and I had a kind of good heart to heart. I think that was about 2001 or so, 2002. I was either just getting out of high school or kind of in that area. And that same one, I had a really good heart to heart with my grandpa, who we lost in 2020 there. My grandpa was, he was in the armed forces, and he was incredibly proud of his time in the armed forces, and incredibly proud of the armed forces in general. I actually remember, like, in 2019 November, we didn't think he was going to survive to Remembrance Day, and like that was for my grandpa, that was like one of the most special days of the year. That probably was the most special day of the year to him, outside of like family stuff. And I remember just wanting him to hold on for Remembrance Day, but him and I had a heart to heart, because at that time in my life, I wanted to join the armed forces, and I wanted to join out in Victoria. So like grandpa was like excited, and he was proud, and like I was in cadets too, so I kind of like knew about the life a little bit. So him and I had a really good heart to heart, but at the same time, like 9/11 had just happened not too long ago, and you know, being a 18-19 year old, you know, kid essentially, I was scared shitless to get sent over to Afghanistan and possibly not make it home. So I ended up being too afraid, I guess, to join the services, which is, you know, on a personal side, it's something that I do regret. I wish I would have done that, but you know, it is what it is, you know. So him and I had a really good heart to heart, and I think like one of the things with camping is you're away from all the distractions of life, so you are open to these heart to hearts. So I think that's one of the things that I really love about it. And then I guess when I was 16 or so too, my dad and I had decided that we were going to do a camping trip every single year. We did it once. Went to PA National once, and that was it. I don't know why we didn't. I didn't put any pressure on Dad to do it, and he I don't know if he I don't remember if he ever asked if I wanted to do it. Like maybe I don't remember. But we were gonna do it every year, and we only did it the 1 year. And like Dad knows that I kind of regret that him and I didn't do that. Growing up, we didn't stick to that. And like it's one of those things with time. Like as a father now, I kind of realize like, fuck, you don't get a lot of time with your kids. So yeah, I kind of wish that him and I would have done that more. Before I started my family and all that, but and again, that trip with Dad was pretty much my last real camping trip. The reunion was after, but those are a little bit different. I think I went on one camping trip with a girlfriend for a weekend. Actually, it's probably only a single night. And yeah, I kind of put camping away until I was 34 or so. What Taryn and I did for summer vacations was usually a trip to Banff for about a week, or Revelstoke, or somewhere kind of in the mountains like that. And because we had kids, we wanted, instead of just being in like in a normal hotel room, we wanted a hotel room with like the kitchen ensuite and all that, so we were a bit more self-sufficient and able to buy groceries and make our own meals there. So I think back then those were like $285 a month or a night, pardon me. So we're out there for 8, 9 nights. Do the math. Plus gas, plus play around money. So we were only taking back then about one family trip a year. And kind of like around a couple years prior, my dad had bought a travel trailer, and he was going out to Manitou. Taryn and I we went out there. I think it was just a day trip. I don't remember if we spent the night there. No, yeah, I think we did spend one night in a tent. But that's kind of where like that like, oh, I kind of, I wouldn't mind getting into this again one day. Few years go by, Taryn and I kind of get our 1979 Bonaire BA700 that had been in Taryn's side of the family, but unfortunately at the time, like, I didn't have enough seniority at work to get good holidays, so we didn't really we get to use it like August long for a couple days, and a couple weekend trips, and that was about it. And kind of like around the time we got that tent trailer, my mom and dad were moving into their seasonal site, so that kind of made me helping kind of build a deck and the patio pad kind of made me really want to start getting a travel trailer. And then kind of talked to Taryn about it, and she was kind of same boat. So this would have been around 2016, so we kind of were like, well, we're probably about 2, 3 years away from realistically buying a travel trailer. Then the 2017, like 6, 7 months later, 2017 RV show in Saskatoon is going on, and I hear about it on the radio, and we're supposed to be out buying some supplies for, I think, Ryland's first birthday. And instead, we end up at an RV show, and as we're walking in, I look to Taryn, and I'm like, we're not buying a fucking RV today. So we went through, it was Glenwood first, Sherwood was in the middle, and then Lardner's was at the end. So we went through Glenwood, and they had Jayco, and they had some nice Jaycos in there, and it's like, okay, yeah, whatever, but nothing that really, like, I was like, oh, I need this. The Sherwood we went to, and yeah, not much. Like, the sales guy I found was a little pushy, but I was like, look, man, I'm just here to kick tires, and I'm on the market right now, like, I'm kind of thinking about it. And even before this show in the previous fall, we'd kind of looked at some trailers at a few different locations around town. And then we go to the Lardner's, and we're going through, and Taryn walks into the back of our trailer that we bought now, and the trailer we end up buying, and that trailer was a, or is a 2017 Keystone Hydro 272 LHS. So, in terms of where that trailer fits on Keystone's line, it's the entry level trailer. It's a working stiffs trailer type thing. It's, I guess, in like in the car world, it would be like the Chevy Cavalier of the Keystone brand. So it's kind of the low end trailer. So we'd seen trailers that had nicer fit and finish inside. So I don't really know why, but she walked in. Might have just been the lighting from the floor and the trailer and the way it's, I don't know, but she walked in. She's like, I want this trailer. I got it. She's like, I want it. I love it. And what Larners did was they put the cost of the trailer, like they looked like little business card type things, printed out the weight of the trailer, the hitch weight of the trailer. So you had all the information right there. So I'm kind of looking at the specs and I'm like, okay, yeah, like, you know, our truck can handle this thing. So, and then, you know, I liked the price right off the bat. And I was like, well, let's go flag down a salesperson and have a quick chit chat with them. So then we had a talk with, I flagged down Garth, who happened to be the owner's brother. But I thought he was the owner because he had the same last name. And I was thinking, I'm like, fuck yes, I'm going to get an even sweeter deal, I bet. So then I flagged this Garth down and kind of started talking. And, you know, I get some information off him. And he gives me some kind of like some estimates on what insurance kind of typically costs. And he's actually pretty close. I think he was within about $30 for the whole year. So, yeah. So then I remember I had taken some pictures. I sent the pictures to my mom and dad. And I said, you know, we're thinking about it. Like, I'm on the fence. Mom and dad went. And then, like, we went and met my parents and kind of looked at it the next day. And, like, the next day I had to go to work. And back then I was still loading trailers. I had not gone transitioned into management yet. So I was still loading trailers. And we had this truckload report that we would load a trailer off of to make sure that we had all the product on the trailer. So every time, I must have done this like 5 or 6 times, but like every time I had a spare 2 or 3 minutes, I'd write out my budget, my monthly budget. And I was trying to convince myself that I couldn't afford this fucking thing, right? So I was like, okay, I'm making this much a month, Taryn makes this much a month. This is how much our mortgage is. This is how much the truck payment is. This is like insurance, utilities, all that. Like, and I had money left over, and I was like, okay. And like, it'd be, you know, X amount of money for groceries. I'm like, okay, you know. So then I was like, I fucked up somewhere. So then the next page, I'd do it again, and I'd come up with, you know, roughly the same money or same amount. And I kept doing that, and it came to the point where I was like, okay. So then we decided. You know, like I talked to Aaron again, and we're like, ah, let's go make an offer on this thing. So we went in, we made an offer, and I tried to get a few free things thrown in, which didn't. But I mean, I think my trailer, I got $9,500 off on it, off the what they were selling it for at their dealership. So I'm not going to complain too much about not getting an extra free whatever. I think I asked for like hitch or some shit, I forget. But, sorry about that, I'm taking a quick drink. But, yeah, so then we go through the financing process or whatever. And even before that, they were like, do you want to put a deposit on this trailer so we don't sell it? And they're like, well, we're not going to lie to you. Like, there's been a few people asking about this trailer. I was like, no, I'm like, if it sells and it just wasn't meant to be right now, and we'll either wait till next year, or maybe we'll do something a bit later on in the year, like, whatever. And then, like, that's kind of, like, when I'd gone and done all my budget shit. And, the other kicker, too, is right across from it was a Sport Trek 270 VBH. And for those that don't know, Sport Trek is what has become my favorite brand. And I did like that trailer as well, but I didn't like the price of it. Because I didn't know if I could justify spending an extra X amount of dollars. I forget what the price was on that now. But I didn't know if I could justify spending X amount of dollars more, because I didn't know if I was going to use it enough to justify that purchase price. So retrospectively, I wish I would have bought that trailer because we use it a lot. But yeah, you live in there, right? So then we go through the financing thing, and we kind of had like an hour or two between the end of Taryn's shift and the beginning of my shift at work. So they're like, "Well, do you want to hang around or anything to find out if it goes through?" I'm like, "Well, no, I got to go to work." So then they're like, "Well, do you want to put a deposit on so we don't sell it?" Well, this is whatever. Like, somebody comes and pays high. I'm like, "No." I'm like, same thing. Like, if it sells, it just wasn't meant to be. Whatever. So they're like, "Okay, cool." So I think about an hour later, not even, like, I think maybe 20, 30 minutes later, they call us and like, "Yeah, you guys are approved. So now you just got to come in and sign all the paperwork." So we did. And the rest, as you can see, is history. So then we became the proud owners of a 2017 Keystone Hideout 272 LHS. And what's kind of cool about it is the day after, or maybe the day up, that we bought it, the owner had actually made a video inside of my trailer, kind of showing, you know, as promotional for the RV show. So my trailer was actually used as a promotional trailer in a video. Out of all the trailers they could have, they used mine. And if you went to the 2017 show and you went through all the learners' trailers with bunks, you would have gone through my trailer. Now, there was no damage done to my trailer from the show, but if I was to do the same thing again today, I would not buy a trailer that was a floor model at an RV show. Just going to shows, there's too much abuse I've seen people put on a trailer as they go through it, just from like opening and slamming cupboard doors, like in an unrealistic manner. Like, you're not going to use as much force to close a fucking cabinet door, but when you're like walking through something that you're thinking about buying or you don't want to buy at all, it just seems like people like shut those things excessively hard. So we didn't have any issues like that with ours. There's no damage done to ours from the show at all, so it's all good. So we picked it up, and let's talk about my first camping trip with it, because I got my truck buried actually deep in mud first time I went with it. My brother-in-law owns some land up north, and we just had to boondock on his land, and he just bought it. We'd been out on the property about 2 weeks prior. Ground was still nice and firm, so we decided, hey, you know, Mother's Day, Taryn had it off, let's go up camping in our brand new trailer. And so we're talking to the brother-in-law, he's like, okay, he's like, well, the approach road that you were on to get to the kind of where the camping section of the property is there, what we use to camp on, he's like, yeah, that is, he's like, that's flooded out, so we're gonna have to use the opposite side, the high side of the property, and I would just drive along the fence line. So we're like, okay, and then there's a few dips in the property, and I see my brother-in-law, we come up to one, I'm far enough back that I can power through it if need be. He sticks his head out, like he cracks open, sticks his head out, looks, closes the door, drives through, whatever, no problem. So I kind of power through that one, thinking like, if my brother-in-law's checking the depth of the puddle, or the water, I better be careful. But because I did that, I got a little too close to his back end. And, you know, within 50 yards of that one, same thing. Going to another little dip in the property there, and brother-in-law opens up his door, peeks down, and kind of looks back at me, shrugs a bit, closes his door, he gets through there. But I'm like, okay, I got to power through this, but, you know, I don't have the distance to get into the power very much, you know, like, I'm, you know, by this point, I'm maybe 20 yards coming in on it. So, you know, I got into the juice there, and as soon as that back end, well, even the front end, you can feel the front end kind of like do that, like, uh-oh. And then as soon as the back onto that soft spot, you just felt the whole back end sink in. So we had, on the very first boondocking trip, we had it sank axle deep in mud. And it was an absolute process to get it out. We ended up calling CAA, and the CAA driver came out with his half ton to kind of see what he might think he needed. And then my brother-in-law called a guy that rents equipment out there. I nicknamed him Big River Bert. And to get us out with a we were gonna rent like one of his skid steers or something. And he's like, oh, he ended up coming up and helping us, but while we were out, and I don't know why, to this day, none of us were like, we need to go down the fence line, because we know that we can make it past the fence line. We decided that we were going to cut through, like, the pasture to go straight to the entrance of the property. I don't know why. So, the tow truck guy decided that he was going to kind of scout around the pasture to see if there's a better way. And I think look for boulders, but my brother was like, look, like there's not a lot of boulders. They've been picked, and you can see like there's like two different boulder piles over there where all the boulders are. So he's like, you shouldn't have to worry about that too much. But he's like, stay away from that part of the property. Like this, and he points to where it is because like, that's the low point. He's like, that's where all the water is. Tow truck guy's like, okay, yeah, cool. And then he instantly proceeds to go in there, and then he gets stuck up to his wheel wells, so like in mud, and to get out of his truck he had to like come with the driver's window because he couldn't get his door open. So then we have to deal with that. So that this time we'd gotten my truck unhooked, unstuck, so now we're okay. We just have to come in and we're gonna hook up to the trailer perpendicular and then just yank it sideways pretty much, right? We hooked up to the trailer to get it 90, we spun it 90 degrees on the bobcat. We hooked up to the bobcat into the tongue. So yeah, so then yeah, we spun that 90 and then we hooked up. So yeah, we were pretty much out. We just had to drive out now. And we hooked up to my brother-in-law's truck instead of using my truck. Again, I don't know why. I just don't know why. So then we decided we're going to quickly get the tow truck guy out. And then while we're doing this, Big River Bert gets his skid steer stuck. So now we got a stuck truck, a stuck skid steer. Keep in mind, this is Mother's Day, long weekend. There's actually an album on the Facebook group called Dumb Don't Be It, and it's where I put like all my stupid adventures in there. And you can zoom in on a picture of Taryn covering her face, just like, what in the fuck have I married? Because like, it just, like, she told me not to go in there, and I was like, all right, we're fine. And then, yeah, got stuck. So then, Big River Bert's like, wow, don't worry, I got another skid steer, I'll go get out. So then he goes, gets his other skid steer, and Buddy with a jacked up F-350 kind of comes to help, and that's where shit really starts going downhill, because Buddy had to show off how cool his jacked up F-350 was. So as we get the skid steer out, and then we decide that we're going to double truck it. So we're gonna hook up the F-350 with tow straps to my brother-in-law's F-150, and like we had those big like farmer tow straps that like they used to get their tractors out, so we weren't worried about weight or anything. I don't know. Again, you look at the pitch, you can see the mud mess that was made because, and again, like Buddy with the F-350 just wanted to show how cool his fucking truck was. Like, he just fucking pinned her and threw as much mud as possible. It wasn't like he was like, okay, we can just drive through this, whatever. Like, he was a dick for the sake of being a dick. And again, like, I still don't know why none of us didn't think, drive the fence line, because we know we can get all the way back, no problem. There's like the two problem spots. So in theory, all we had to do was hook up the trailer with the skids here and then go. But so anyways, you know, at the end, Buddy with the jacked up F-350, all you really did is make a massive mess with mud. Like, I've never seen so much mud on a trailer or a truck in my life. My brother-in-law's truck had probably about 4 inches of mud on the front from the grill all the way up. My trailer, same thing. But yeah, so that was our first trip. So right off the bat, when you have a trip like that, you're like, what in the fuck have I gotten myself into? And then a few weeks after that trip, we take our first official trip to a campsite, which was PA National Park. It was site G5 in the Red Deer Campground. And, you know, is going up there was the first time I had really experienced a decent crosswind. Even the Mother's Day fiasco there, I had not seen. Oh, I should call that the Mother's Day weekend massacre. Nah, Tara would love it. She's into like all that horror stuff and Yeah, because that's what it was. Anyways, so I hadn't really experienced it. It had been raining kind of all weekend, but it wasn't super windy. So the next trip was the first kind of experience with a strong crosswind, and that's again, that's one of those moments where I'm like, what have I done? Like, is this something that I can handle? Like, have I bitten off more than I can chew? So then we get to the campground, and you kind of forget about all that while you're camping, and that's when we're kind of like learning our camping routine and still kind of figuring shit out. And then coming home, it was fine. So it's kind of like, I'm like, okay, it's not so bad. Then we did a trip from the next trip was a week long, and we did half the week in Saskatchewan Provincial Park in the Riverside Campground, and then the other half was Cypress Hills Interprovincial Park. Which my water, we had water heater issues, which I had to get taken care of on warranty. But coming home, it was around Sask Landing, and somewhere in that area, north of Sask Landing, though, we hit a really bad crosswind. And it had me down to about 80 to 85 kilometers. And if I was going any faster, my trailer was going where I didn't want it to go. So, and again, that's one of those ones where I was like, oh my God, like, what am I fucking doing? Like, this is like this is, I didn't think that I could do it. But again, we stuck with it, and I think the more you do something, the more confidence you gain with your skill, and the less self-doubt you have. So I kind of like stuck with towing, and I'm pretty comfortable now. Like, I've been in worse situations now in terms of wind, and I have been fine. So yeah, Sarah, like, wind, crosswinds don't bother me at all anymore. It's just like another day of towing in Saskatchewan, it seems nowadays. But so that was kind of year one in a nutshell, just kind of learning. And going into the first year, like, I had no knowledge at all of anything with RVs, like, nothing. I didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground. And camping, I was like, I kind of thought that our family camping experience would be the same as mine growing up. So that's what I was expecting when we got into campgrounds, but it's completely different. So we spent a lot of time hiking. We typically hike every single day we're camping, and we'll do two hikes a day depending on how long they are. And one of the things I absolutely love about hiking is it's a fantastic way to push your children to achieve something that they don't think they can achieve. So our longest hike to date is 13.7 kilometers, and my 10-year-old, my 8-year-old, and my 6-year-old all completed that hike by themselves. My 4-year-old was on my back, and then Taryn had our infant on her back in kid carriers there. That's the same hike that I had an accidental discharge of my bear spray and got primarily me and my 4-year-old, but pretty much the whole family got it. Like, Taryn got it, our infant got some bear spray. And my three older boys also got a little bit, not a lot, but enough that it was uncomfortable, and we still had about 3K left to hike, or 2.5, 3K left. So when you get into something like that, like, it's a very uncomfortable and challenging situation to be in. Bear spray hurts for quite a few hours afterwards. I'll tell you that much right now. So it's one of those things, though, in life where our kids have, they can use that challenge to, they can compare it to any other challenge they have in their life and say, listen, if I can get through this, then whatever obstacle is in front of me right now, I can get through. So when we push our kids and challenge our kids on hikes, it's something that they are going to take, hopefully, with them through their lives, where they can say, okay, I can handle this because I've done this on a hike, or this on a, so it's one of those confidence building things that I love. And we don't do a lot of, like, beach days. We'll usually do one beach day, one or two per trip, but it's usually one beach day per campground we're at. If we were in a campground for longer, we'd probably do more, but typically speaking, we hit two parks on any given family holiday. So when we're trying to get out there and explore and hike, there's just not enough time for beach days in there. I'm gonna talk about the Facebook group now as we come in the 15-minute mark. So the fun thing about the Facebook group is I started that so that I didn't have to put any work in to finding campsites or cool campgrounds that I wanted to camp, which it's kind of funny now because I put a lot of work into camping now and running the group, so it kind of backfired on me, but it's okay, it's good. So very early on that it was just kind of like a way for me to be lazy and just kind of fish for the best places to visit in Saskatchewan. And the first year by my standards now was an absolute fucking failure, I think. So I started the group, pardon me, in May 31st of 2017, right? Yeah, May 31st, 2017 is when I started the group. And I thought that I was gonna get a lot of members right off the bat. I didn't. I think after the first camping season, I had around 400 to 500 members. And I remember kind of being a little down about that and kind of telling Taryn, I was like, fuck, like I thought this was gonna be huge. And Taryn was like, oh no, it's in the middle of the camping season. Taryn was like, you gotta put content on, Jay. Like there's not enough content to get it exciting, to get people to wanna come see what's going on. So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, cool, makes sense. So then I shared like three different articles. Like one was like top 5 hikes in Saskatchewan. I think one was top 10 beaches in Saskatchewan to experience before you die, and one was like top 10 places to eat in small town Saskatchewan. And the guy shared them, like, oh, fucking well done, Jay, well done. Which, I mean, like, now when you look at the workload I do on the group, it just doesn't make sense that I'd ever think that that was acceptable. But, you know, so, and it didn't, like, obviously it didn't move the needle much. So I think it was somewhere around, we kind of saw our first spike in membership, if you will, sometime around January or so of 2018, and that got us over the 1,000 member mark. So then we did a giveaway for the 1,000 members, because I honestly didn't think that I was gonna get there after like, I think July or so, like really early on. I didn't think I was gonna get there. So we did 1,000, and then after we hit 1,000, it started growing a little bit more rapidly, but still nothing like crazy. And somewhere around like that time, I decided to make Taryn an admin as well. So the very first like year and a half, the only admin on there was me. It was 100% me. So then I made Taryn an admin, and then we were driving from Douglas Provincial Park to Cypress Hills, and we were kind of talking about like content, and like Taryn was the first one to coin like Fishing Friday, but like I was kind of like, we gotta do something like daily or something like that, or weekly. So what I did was we did the first year, like Taryn threw a Fishing Friday, so that became one of them. We had Fishing Friday, we had Scenic Saturday, Sunset Sunday, nothing on Monday. Tuesday was canine campers. Wednesday was Wildlife Wednesday, and Thursday we didn't have anything, but we started having daily content. And once we started kind of committing to that daily content, that's when we started really seeing some good growth numbers for the group. And then, as a way to drive growth for the group, I decided that I was gonna get stickers going, bumper stickers. And, you know, the thought was you would see them either in a campground or, you know, at a gas station or something like that. And then you'd be like, I wonder what that is. Like, SAS for every campers. And if you were a camper, obviously whatever. But, so the original idea was that was going to be a way that I could drive growth for the group. And what happened kind of really changed my perspective of what the group should be. And like, I had to kind of like, it's always been like an informative group, but somebody had seen a sticker on somebody else's trailer and they were like, oh, I'm part of the same group. And then they kind of had like a bit of an impromptu meetup there. And then after that, we started seeing a few more meetups with group members because they were members of the group. And that's when it really kind of dawned on me that this is a community. It's not like a Facebook group where I can just kind of harvest the best information. It's a community. And that's kind of when we kind of went more building towards that community aspect of it. And that's kind of like when we also saw the most growth that we saw. Like, we went from 4,000 members to 16,000 members in about 11 months. You know, so like, it was just a massive growth. And we've seen the tail off now. We're at 18,700, just shy, which, I mean, when you think about the RV camping scene in Saskatchewan, 18,700 members out of a population base of 1.1 million. I don't know what the adult population base is of our province compared to the youth, but I think we're probably in around where we're going to get to. I think around 20K is where we will sit. It was really cool. And one of the things that was always in the back of my mind was starting a tenting group as well, because I wanted to do some overnight hikes with my kids. Like, I want to do the Gray Owl hike. I want to do the Boreal Trail, the whole thing. I want to do Rice River Canyon. I'd love to do the Nut Point Peninsula hike. Those are all kind of overnight hikes. So in the back of my mind, there was like tenting in Saskatchewan was something I wanted to start. Somebody beat me to the punch. And they started a tenting camping group, and I kind of kept my eye on that thing and didn't do anything. Like, last time I looked, I think it might be archived now, but last time I saw it, they were, 2 years old or 2.5 years old, and they had about 1,000 members. So I decided that I was going to launch my tenting in Saskatchewan group. And then again, I get to do it the way I want to do it, not the way somebody else is doing it and whatever. And so that group is just about a year old, and we're sitting at just under 5,000 members. So, a lot of good growth in that group. And again, this is going to be a community-based group where, it's the tenting community of Saskatchewan, and there's going to be a lot of good information shared, and they're going to have their own kind of same, like, we have our sticker for the SRVC. They're going to have their own sticker for tenting in Saskatchewan as a way that when they're in the campground, they can meet each other up, talk to each other, make some new friends with people with shared interest. And then I guess the last thing on groups is there used to be it was called 306 trailers, or 306 and then Saskatchewan trailer tips, hacks, something like that. And it was kind of along the same lines as the Saskatchewan RV Camper group that I admin. And I was a part of that group. And if I ever had a member that just didn't feel like they were working out within SRVC there, I would kind of point him in that direction so that they could still be part of like a community and get some information if they needed. But I noticed that it was archived one day. So I reached out to the old admin, because any group that's archived, you can unarchive if you are a member. And I kind of told the old admin, like, hey, I'm thinking we're starting up a Facebook group I was thinking about unarchiving your group and then rebranding it as a group for local businesses and home businesses to share camping products that they make and sell. And then, as you know, if you're okay with that, I'll unarchive it and rebrand it. If you know, if you're not, I'm just gonna start my own thing. But fortunately for me, the old admin thought it was a good idea and kind of let me take that group over. So we started that. So now, a lot of times within my other groups, I really preach local business. Now I have a branch where I can kind of help local business or promote local business within the camping community in Saskatchewan. So that's where we are there. I'm gonna talk about my camping experiences now, like on a personal level. It's very different for Taryn and I to camp now than it was, you know, 3 seasons ago, 4 seasons ago. So in 2017, 2018, 2019, nobody knew who we were in a campground. We got recognized once in 2019, and that was checking in at Narrow Hills Provincial Park, and it was by the lady that works for South Parks, and she was a member of the group, and she was like, "Are you Jay?" Because like when I book, I use my given name, which is actually Jonathan. She's like, "I saw the name, and I thought maybe it was you, but then the name." I said, "Oh no, yeah, that's me. That's my given name. So that's kind of what I use when I have to do any kind of thing like this." So, and yeah, so she was the first person that kind of recognized me from the group, and nobody else that year recognized us. 2020, we had somebody, we had a few people here and there, and then 2021, so our last camp season, at almost every campground we went to, with the exception of two, we got recognized. And one of them, somebody actually was like, "Oh yeah, we saw you camping there, but we didn't want to come say hi to you because, you know, like, you're camping or whatever," which is their choice. But yeah, absolutely feel free to come say hello to us. I love talking to people and hearing people's story. Taryn is not as social as me, but I love talking to people and kind of hearing their camping story. So, but yeah, so we, whether it was out on hikes or people coming up to our campsite, and our campsite is kind of, it's an open campsite now, obviously. So all I do is, if somebody comes up, my dogs are chatty. I don't like my dogs barking, so I put my dogs in my trailer, and then we can have a talk. It's really cool, and it's kind of like why I want to start this podcast as well, because like when I talk to people, I get to hear their story and like what they like about camping, what camping means to them. So I kind of feel like, you know, like I get a lot of like joy from hearing about that. So I figured, hey, we might as well start a podcast so they can share it with a lot of people. And I got recognized three times this year out on trail. One time was a gentleman. He was on a bike ride with his kids at Candle Lake. And if he is listening, I apologize for being so like whatever. Like, I tried to get out of there really quick. It wasn't like a normal chatty with me, but that was supposed to be like a simple little walk that turned into a 6K hike, and I didn't bring any water, and I thought I was gonna fucking die from fucking dehydration. So I was talking to him, and I was being kind of really short and trying to get out of there because I had to get to the camp, to my camper, to get water because I was struggling. So if I ever see that gentleman again, I'll definitely make sure that I'm not so like one word answer trying to get out of there. But it's weird to think that there's most likely people that know who we are in a campground. We don't have that like privacy of just showing up and nobody knowing who we are. So it's kind of weird to experience that, but at the same time, like, the trade-off and like meeting new people and hearing people's story is so fucking awesome. Like, I love it. So if you're ever in the same campground as us, you know, if you see our truck parked there, feel free to come by, say hello. You know, we'll chit chat for a little while. If we're getting ready to go on a hike, I might say, "Hey, you know, like, I'm getting ready to go on a hike. Can you possibly come back a bit later on?" And that's not me trying to get rid of you, or not or trying to me trying to be dismissive of you. That's just me saying, hey, like, I got to get out there and look after my mental health, because that camping is also, and like getting out in the wild, in the forest, is a big reset for me. It's something that I feel I need. So yeah, if I ever say, hey, look, I'm getting ready for a hike, please come back later. Please don't take that as me trying to get rid of you. Come back later if you can, and let's have a chit chat and tell me your story, because that's really what I want to hear. If you're gonna take the time to come say hello to me, and then most people say thank you for the group, but if you're gonna take that time, please come tell me your story, because I want to hear it. And if you guys want to be a guest on this merry little podcast about camping, feel free to reach out. If you are within the industry and you're not kind of like in my network of people that I talk to, please reach out and we'll try to hammer something down. And just because I've had a tech from like one dealership doesn't mean we shouldn't have a tech from somewhere else. Same with salespeople, same with owners. I want to get as many different points of view as possible, you know. So I think it's for the people that know me, they know that there's three dealers that I kind of probably would say I have a decent relationship with. There's two that I have a very good relationship with. But even if you're like one of those ones that I don't have one with, chances are I probably know where you work. I have a fairly good idea. As soon as somebody from a dealership speaks up, I have other people that message me right away, and they're like, oh, this person works there. So I have a fairly good idea kind of who works where. So, you know, even if we haven't talked before, and if you work for somewhere, feel free to reach out and let's fucking tell your story. You know, like, that's the whole thing. Let's spread some information, let's spread some stories, you know. And yeah, that's all. That's what I got. Please, thanks for listening. If you're still here with me, I guess an hour and 7 minutes is probably a long time to hear one guy ramble about not much. Probably the first like 20 minutes of this podcast is probably all you had to hear. I gotta think of like a sign off. I don't think there's any sign off I could do with this SAS chat U1. There's got to be something there, but I'm just not creative enough to think of it. But we'll figure out a sign off. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming by. If you want to be a guest, please send me a personal message either to me, like Jay Merritt, or to the Saskatchewan RV Camper page. And we will try to work something out. Keep in mind, I would prefer to do it in person rather than over like a video, like Skype or Teams or anything like that. But if need be, we can do it over that. And I think that's it, guys. We will see you guys at the next campground. I don't like that sign off. I don't. That's not a good sign off. We'll chat with you at the next... Oh, that's somewhere in there. We'll chat at the next campground. Until the next campsite. Chat. There's something there. There's something rattling in there. I think I might get something. Bye.